Even before I read the lesson for today, the paragraph, short one today, I pondered something else. I didn't recall to put the name to it, but it occurred to me that that one of the problems with Packer's book, one of the problems with what he was trying to do, and really did a pretty effective job all the way through, but one of the problems was that he was having to use human terms for an eternal and even before the beginning and at the end, God, that is beyond our ability to be able to use those words. Then I read this chapter, and he uses the term that I was trying to put together. It starts with an A, and I'm not even going to try to begin to put the whole word together, but you know if you read the lesson. In the middle of it, he talks about the term that's used for trying to use human terms to describe God. And it's amazing to me that we got to chapter 17 before he ever says that. But that's what he's been doing all along, because there's no other way. And we need to understand for ourselves that there are times that we cannot. I get in arguments sometimes from this, but sometimes people will talk about they can't wait to walk the streets of gold and the pearly cities and all this stuff. And in my loving, most honest moments when we talk about that, I say, I don't think that's going to be it. What? I don't think that's heaven. What? I think that heaven is so far beyond our ability to comprehend and put words to it that the scripture writers used the best terms they could, the most astounding, amazing, wonderful things. And I think that it's beyond that. But we don't have words to do that. In today's lesson, I think it's chapter 17, Packer is talking about the jealousy of God. He admits in the beginning of that for most of us, that brings already a head scratch kind of thing, because we don't see jealousy as good. If jealousy can eat you up in the ways that we think of it. Jealousy can make you mad. Jealousy can lead you to different things that you shouldn't even begin to feel. And so we begin to try, because we've done this for 16 chapters before now, how do we put that together? He does a masterful job toward the end of the chapter of telling us about two different kinds of jealousy. And I want, in my own style, which is just me, call me what you want to, but at the core, I'm a pretty simple guy. And I've always had, I think it's a gift, to take the complex, particularly in Scripture, and boil it back down and say, okay, what is this really saying in ways that good old folks like me can understand? And I think after pondering, reading, and coming back with some different things, that it's simple. The jealousy of God, with jealousy as one of his characteristics, is really a heartfelt, inward, powerful yearning for us to be all that we're supposed to be with him. If he is jealous with us, it really comes back, and Packer brings this out, it really starts more than anywhere else with the Ten Commandments. That's where you really begin to get a feeling and understanding. And God's jealousy is a righteous indignation for his people to have no other God but him. And remember, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses at a time that there was a multitude, a myriad of other gods, small g. Everybody had their own. Some of them had little deities to go with it, and some of them had 10 or 12. God of the sun, God of the moon, God of the earthquakes, God of the earth worms, you name it. They had a God for it. And what he is saying in the Ten Commandments, the first time that anyone has ever seen God's handwriting, did you realize that? Is when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. It says the first time he wrote them. He wrote them on the tablets. In his own handwriting, he says, I'm the only one. I'm the only God for you, and I'm jealous of that, and you can't have any others before me. There's only one. We are that way somewhat in relationships sometimes, okay? You know, if If Laura, she's going to kill me. I think she dreads, you dread when I teach, don't you? I try to be nice. When Laura's over with wife, and she wants to go to the hot tub and there's some old man over there, if he paid too much attention to her, I'd be jealous. Because there's only one, me. Now that can be taken to a bad place too, but that's the kind of jealousy that we see in the jealous God. In the beginning of one of the most famous Psalms, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I what? Shall not want what?
Any others.
One of my favorite rabbis in his writings, he wrote a book about when bad things happen to good people. A prolific writer, wonderful writer. He says that many scholars, Hebrew scholars, transfer that to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want another shepherd." We don't need all the other shepherds. It's simply that shepherd that we need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want another shepherd. Now we talk about it in terms of want all the time, and that may be a part of it too. But I kind of agree with Rabbi. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want another shepherd. We deviate from that sometimes, and we end up with a lot of other shepherds in our lives. For many of us, sometimes career becomes a shepherd. For some, family becomes a shepherd. The desire for what my neighbor has may become a shepherd. I think I may be dead wrong, but I think one of the beauties of putting some years on our bones is that I really don't care what anybody else has anymore. I really don't care. I was thinking this morning, my socks are sharks.
Yes, they are.
Okay? But they're blue. That doesn't match with my outfit. I don't care. I wanted to wear shark socks. And the Lord brought them to me. So, we come to a point in life, and I think most of us are there, that we quit depending on what anybody else might think. Don't really care. The only person, besides Lord, the only person that I really want to please is God. Is God. And I allow the jealousy of God to remind me that there is but one God. And in that circumstance, the jealousy of God is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not a negative thing. The jealousy of God means that He loves us so much that He wants to remind us that I'm it for you. And you don't need any others. You don't need the God of earthworms and the God of night and God of the sky. And I'm all in with you. And the inference is that out of that comes the opportunity for us to be that in with Him as well. I think that's a growing thing. As we come to our point in age, a lot of the things that may have drawn us away at one time or another have fallen away. Our kids are grown. The grandkids are busy playing games. They don't, fill in the blanks any way you want to. And we're able to focus more on the positive jealousy of God and then be a reflector of that. I don't know. Maybe all of you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. I don't know. Probably not. But if you notice this week, even with not a full moon, every night this week was what Laura and I call moonlight shadows. You could see in the middle of the night. You could see bright like it was daytime. But do you realize that the moon has no light of its own? You were not seeing moonlight. I was not seeing moonlight. It's the reflection of the sun off of the moon. And it lit us up every night this week. I love it. I love it. Moonlight shadows. In that, we need to become like the moon. We have no light of our own. We don't. But we're positioned to reflect the light of God in everything we do. That's the basis for jealousy. And that's the best terms, I think, humanly speaking, that we can put to that. When I first looked at the chapter, I thought, why did he? He didn't have to include that. You know, just why? But I think he did have to include that because it's there and it's true. If you go back to Exodus, Exodus is the primary place to see the face of God and the names for God more than any one place in the entire Bible. Go to Exodus 31, I think it is. I got it written down somewhere. And you'll see about jealousy. You'll see about the Ten Commandments. You'll see all of the other names and the implications from that for our lives. So, as some of you have mentioned in a different context, are we no longer on? No, it doesn't matter. As some of us have mentioned in different contexts this morning, we are called by the jealousy of God to share that loving jealousy with other people. Sometimes we need to know about that. I had the rare privilege this week, and I was feeling kind of down and dealing with everything. It was last Sunday, as a matter of fact. And I received an unexpected text from an unnamed person. I know them, but you don't need to know the name. And they said, you were mentioned in a sermon this morning in Roxboro, North Carolina. Roxboro Baptist Church was celebrating the 25th anniversary of their minister of music being there all that time. And I did his ordination service over 25 years ago. I'd forgotten. I mean, I didn't forget that I'd done it, but I didn't remember what I said. I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't remember if I had breakfast. You know how that is. But this person said, Mike Moose is the minister of music's name. We've been dear friends all these years. They said that he, and I didn't know this, said he had carried around in his Bible the four basic points that I made in his ordination sermon. And the fourth one was the one that had been his guiding light for 25 years. And I'd forgotten. And then they related to me. I said, how in the world? And they said about that. And he said, this person said that he had been talking to the minister of youth at their church. And he had shared with her these four points from his ordination sermon. She said, I love that. I want to hear the whole sermon. He said, that's 25 years ago. We didn't live stream. We didn't do any of that sort of thing. But Mike said he found a cassette copy of his ordination service. And he sat down, and I don't know how long it took him to do it. He said, I thought I was just going to die. But he transcribed the entire sermon so that they could all read it. And it came from John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that's a mishmash of about three different translations, but it gives you the point that goes with that. If you follow John 14 on a little bit farther, and I can quote that because I've done 700 funerals. And in about 650 of them, I've always used that scripture. If you follow it on a little bit further, Jesus says to one of his disciples, that's a doubter, you know, who are you? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Then the other disciple that was a head scratcher every time you turn around, I kind of love his spirit, but go, you know, can't you get this? He said, you know, Lord, how can we go where you're going when we don't know where you're going? And Jesus explained to him then with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then that disciple said, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And the last point of that 25-year-old sermon, what I said to Mike was, your job over the next years, however long you live, is as a minister, as a gospel preacher, as a gospel musician, to show people the Father. To show people the Father. And that struck me so powerfully. That I was accidentally good that day, but it struck me as so appropriate for today. When we deal with difficult circumstances And we want to be angry, and sometimes we have the right to be angry. And we want to be mad over something, and sometimes we seem to have the right to be mad. We need to go back to John 14 and recognize that in whatever we deal with, however we deal with a difficult situation, words or a circumstance or what have you, we need to be aware that our call from a jealous God is to show people the Father. Reflection, like the moon. Show the Father. And in my anger, am I showing the Father? No. In my zeal and say things that I shouldn't say, am I showing them Jesus? No. I've got to go back to that point. So, in this difficult circumstance, fill in the blank. If this encounter with a person that I don't necessarily like, fill in the blank who that might be. You can fill that in for whatever it is for you. How, instead of being angry, how, instead of inflaming the situation, how do I show the Father? How do I show the Father? And part of it is to remember that we serve a jealous God who expects us to be like Him in His jealousness for wanting all to be one with Him. I think it's a dynamic lesson. I think it's one that's easy for us to forget. And it's easier to try to forget it than it is to put it into place. But that doesn't make it any less powerful. I wrote Mike. Matter of fact, he sent me a copy of the a link to the service from that morning. And I wrote him back and said, I'm honored beyond belief that anyone would remember any words that I had from 25 years ago. Thank you. Thank you. And it could not have come at a better time for me. It was a point that I was beginning to wonder if all of my life had been just wind blowing sand, didn't make any difference, didn't impact anybody. And Mike reaffirmed the fact that all that we do in all that our years has amazing differences to people even years later. And that was the lesson that I needed. That was the pickup that I needed. Because as the years pile on to us, the past, even the positive parts of the past, sometimes are hard to remember. But we don't know who it is out there that we've made a difference in their lives. Many of them will never know. But others, it was giving a cup of cold water at the right time. It was giving an affirming hug when someone needed it the most. And we forget it, it's gone. But it made a dynamic difference for them. So the jealousy of God is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I'm glad that He wants us to be with the only one God. I'm humbled when I fail from that, and yet the jealous God still wants me. And I'm reminded that we are to be like Him. And I'm wondering who it is today, this week, 2 weeks from now, three, whatever it may be, that we need to be Jesus to them. One of the things that Charlie's death has brought to the forefront, he was doing it as a living, breathing person, but it's going to make it even more, is that He has made it okay to share our faith in places we might never have shared it before. Because that's what He did. And He's made it okay. And it's a reminder for us that the jealous God we serve wants us to serve Him and Him only in all of the circumstances of life. Any questions or comments or rocks to throw or flowers to give? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, actually, part of the problem, you know, with jealousy is there are two kinds, as he said.
And we tend to reflect on the worst kind rather than the best kind.
Yeah, well, there isn't even two kinds, you see, because we use jealousy and envy in the correct fashion, you see, because basically jealousy is what is yours. You're jealous over what is yours, you see, and the picture of it is marriage, mm-hmm. you see, And in the Old Testament, for example, the Lord is married to Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel was the unfaithful bride, mm-hmm. you see, and therefore God was jealous for them because of his love for them.
Yeah.
So that's the illustration, but it also applies to man. But jealousy and envy are not synonyms. They're actually different words, mm-hmm. and unrelated. Mm-hmm. But we use them the wrong way.
Often interchangeably.
Yeah. And when we do change them, we can get into a little difficulty, you see, in the mud. The basic principle of it, jealousy is over what is ours and what we love. Envy is what the other person has. See, like we'd say, oh, I'm jealous about what that person has. You're really saying you're envious of that person. Mm-hmm. You see, so the distinction is that jealousy is for what is yours, like in marriage and et cetera. And envy is you want what the other person mm-hmm. has. But the commonality is that the result of that can result in some of the same emotions, like anger. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm angry that this person mm-hmm. has that, say, an envy. Or when you're jealous, you can get angry over someone trying to mm-hmm. disturb your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Packer went to great lengths to describe exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the correct understanding yeah. of a jealous God. It's very true.
Oh, yeah. No, he was very good at that, but there are not two kinds of jealousy.
Yeah.
See, that's what we have to remember.
It's how it's reflected.
Yeah, you can't, and they're not interchangeable.
Yeah.
For example, you could never say, God is envious by way of changing. Mm-hmm. Everything it is.
He has no reason to be envious.
Exactly so. See, so, but God is jealous.
Yeah.
Because he loves us, and we're in the church is married to Christ, so it's the same marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. He's faithful, are we?
Good point. Thank you. He filled in all my blanks. Anyone else?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's beautiful the way the Lord brought that back to you.
And the timeliness.
We needed it, and that's what he does in his
yeah.
love for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's happened time and time again in my life, and I know it has in yours. Mm-hmm. And why I ever doubt that it's not going to happen again is beyond, that's my fault. But you're right. Time. We say often to each other, don't we? Timing is everything. Yes, ma'am, you were going to say something.
This is just something that's always been in the back of my mind since I was a little kid, when they talk about other gods. And I always used to think, well, there's no proof. They don't exist. So why did people so strongly believe in them?
I think sometimes it's because people, and I can't speak to Old Testament people,
yeah.
but I think it's sometimes people just feel like they need more. The golden calf was built by the people in the wilderness to represent, they say, to represent Moses, because he wasn't there anymore. But they needed something visual. Sometimes people just need something more that they can grasp.
Even without proof, yeah.
Even without, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's true or not.
I used to just want to slap them.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's the appropriate
that's not
response.
The Jesus way to do it, is it?
Yeah.
That's a Susan way.
I was doing a capital campaign with the First Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Lexington's, if you've never been there, you need to go. It's just a wonderful city. Incredibly expensive to live there, I think, but I love Lexington. And I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and I was preaching about who is your neighbor. And I always try to take a different slant, because everybody knows the story. But there was a youth minister, a children's minister there. It was kind of a prim and proper church, and all the little kids came up there, and they had their little suits on, and the little girls had their, and they had much like 25, 30 kids come up at the children's time. And she was trying to help them understand who is my neighbor. And she was asking them the right questions, and it's always a scary thing. Those of you who have done children's messages before know that you don't know what's going to be said. But I always liked that challenge. But she's asking them the right questions, and finally one little kind of chubby fella in the back raised his hand. And she said, yes, John, or whatever that was. He said, what if your neighbor's mean? She said, well, that's a great question. That's a great question. How do you think Jesus would respond to that? And they talked about different things, and the little chubby fellow raised his hand again. It's even more dangerous when a kid wants to speak the second time than it is the first time. But she called on him. He said, I think Jesus would slap him. And her response was, let us pray. It was at my suggestion, and so you can blame me if you want otherwise, but I suggested to Grant and to Larry that at Christmas time this year, if we could use a book that I've written as kind of a study guide for our Lenten or Advent, not Lenten, Advent season. And Larry probably hadn't read the book, but he graciously said yes, which is showing faith in places that maybe you shouldn't. But a little book is called Simply Jesus. And I wrote it. It's really four or five sermons out of it. I wrote it because I was so frustrated 10, 12, 15 years ago now over the way that we treat Christmas. And I was flying all the time and in and out of airports. And you can read in the book. But I decided the problem was that we have made Christmas more than it is. It's simply Jesus. And for the most part, this book talks about several of the characters. And we'll look at one each Sunday. We'll work out the ways to do it. It's got a chorus with it that Mike Moose put the piano music to. And we actually did a musical adaptation of this at his church a number of years ago. Got him in trouble there. But I couldn't help it. But we'll look at that, and it's not heavy, but it'll be something I think that we can ponder during the week in between, if that sounds okay to you, Larry. Yes, ma'am?
Is that the book that caught Lori's attention?
No.
No? There was another one.
What one was that?
A book of stories and poems.
This is the book that got her attention. If you will not share that with any elders, there will be an inquisition at the first story. But this book, the book that got her attention, is a book that I wrote and put together in a hurry because I wanted it out before my dad passed. And it's got poems and songs and short stories and several articles that I had written for a magazine that I wrote for in Wilmington. They were crazy enough to just turn me loose to do a short story at the end of all, once a month. And I put a bunch of those in there as well. But Lena's Grace, the original story in there, was originally written over here in Arden. And I took it to a memoir class that I was taking with a writing professor over at one of the other colleges on the east of Asheville. And I asked him if he would take a look at it for me. It took him several months to get back to me with it. And he apologized for taking so long. And he ripped it to shreds. I mean, he tore it up. And in the process, I thought it was pretty good. Tore it up. I laid it aside for 10 years. I didn't even want to. And after 10 years, I went back to it. And it's amazing how smart he had gotten in 10 years. Amazing. And I made the adjustments that he suggested, except for the end. It has a Hallmark kind of end, and he thought it ought to be dark. I don't write dark. We got enough dark without writing dark. But that's how the first story came out of it. You're welcome to have that. And amazingly, both of my books, and I'm not trying to drum up business, I haven't gotten any residual money from Simply Jesus. It's gone on a hole somewhere. But amazingly, both of those are still available off of Amazon. And it took you, just a few days. It's called print on demand. They're not sitting in a dusty warehouse somewhere. But if you order a copy, they print a copy of it. So we'll work on that at Christmas time. And the chorus has all the different, I don't know if you noticed that or not, but in the chorus of the book, it has all the different themes for every week. Simply Jesus, grace, and a manger. A complication in our lives and theirs. Invading the plane, PLAIN. Sharing the journey. simply Jesus, light, glory, and hope. So I'm hopeful it'll be something that we that resonates with us all during the Christmas season. We're getting ready to quit. Was this lesson this morning okay?
Yes.
Let's join in a circle. As we face a new week and a new day with the history that we have and the things that we face, may we face them with a jealous God who loves us enough to be jealous about him. And may we do so in sharing his face in everything we do and say. Let's pray together. Lord, as we walk through another week, may we be closer to you than ever. May we be more honest with people about you than ever. And may your jealousy become our jealousy for you, for your cause, and for our future. In the gracious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.